Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Well, hello, listeners. We're on our next podcast for the year. And today I'm really excited because I'm actually speaking to Dr. Gary Cussell. Now, he's at the helm of the Rejuvenation Clinics of Australia and also the Specialist Clinics of Australia. And I'm pretty excited about today because I've been trying to talk to Dr. Cussell since I very first started, which is like 5 years ago now, feels like forever. But Rejuvenation Clinics of Australia have got, they're in the CBD in Sydney, they're in Barangaroo, and they're also in Chatswood. And that's one arm of the business, and the other arm is the Specialist Clinics of Australia, which has some specialists to it. But he's going to tell us all about it. And today we're going to specifically talk about a topic that's close to my heart, or the other end. It's actually vaginal rejuvenation and regeneration. And they've got, at the Rejuvenation Clinics of Australia, they're leading the way because they've actually got four different devices for kind of the same treatment. So we're going to have a talk about them all today. So welcome, Dr. Cussell.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on board. This is great. So tell us, I know that this is something that you're really passionate about as well, and it's it's a relatively new, I guess, technology, vaginal rejuvenation, because in the olden days, like 10 or so years ago, it was a little like, bad luck. But now there's things that, women can do. So tell us a bit about the treatments that you offer and what they're for.
Okay. They're basically using a heat treatment, either using a laser or radio frequency energy. And what they do is they basically remodel tissue. And for many years, we've been using it on external skin, such as the face and body parts, abdominal skin, or leg and arm skin. And as the applicators were developed to introduce the same heat into the walls of the vagina, we're able to achieve things that we weren't able to achieve really through any surgical improvement or any other technique, and that is to remodel tissue, for instance, after the menopause with lack of estrogen. The tissues all dry up, the vaginal mucosa becomes very dry and atrophic. And another particular instance is where after childbirth, a lot of women have stress incontinence and bladder leakage when they cough or sneeze or laugh or exercise. So it significantly limits their ability to enjoy life. And in fact, a lot of them stop doing exercise because of it. There are some other arms to it as well I can cover if you like. For instance, after multiple childbirths, but also with aging, as the vaginal tissue is stretched and loses its elasticity and strength, the sensitivity and ability to enjoy sexual intercourse reduces, and these lasers and heat treatments are able to tighten and rebuild the circumference, and therefore the vaginal tissue is tighter, stronger, firmer, as well as better lubricated.
So, look, because I know it's something that it's something that not a lot of people talk about, but once you start talking about it with your girlfriends, everyone's got a story to say. And and I know that you've got quite a, you've got that selection there, like you've got the Mona Lisa Touch. So that technology, that's the Deca technology. Can you tell us like where would you use, like how do you know which one to use? Like if I'm going to come to you and say, okay, I'm in my mid-50s, or I could lie and say mid-40s, but I'm going to come and say, oh look, I'm just finding that this is not necessarily true, but I just say, oh yeah, I'm just finding that I can't control my bladder, like when I gotta go, if I don't kind of run to the toilet there and then, like I'm just gonna have a dribble, I guess, on the way or whatever. So how do you work out which treatment to use?
Well, the reason we've got all three essentially is we use the treatments for other things as well on the face and body. But in adapting it, we decided to use all three to do an evaluation to see which, if one was better than the other. And in fact, they were all the same. And the science of it is well known. Basically, if we heat deeper tissue to at least 45 degrees, and we can go up to 55 and 60 degrees, we remodel tissue. And remodeling tissue is a very well-known scientific fact. We know the science of it, which I can go into it. It's a bit technical, if you like. But what it does is it releases growth factor proteins into the tissue, which in turn cause a stimulation, multiplication and stimulation of new collagen tissue forming. So tissue is remodeled and strengthened. We're basically mimicking what happens every day in our tissues anyhow, because remodeling of collagen is a fact of life that happens with all of us every day. But we're just accelerating it with this focal and localized heat. So there's no difference we've found. And we're doing a longitudinal study where we've developed an app, and we ask a lot of questions and do constant review of clients. And as we do maintenance, we keep reviewing them. And we're probably up to over 400 clients, patients, since we started. And we're not finding any statistical difference between any of the three devices, because essentially they all work.
Yeah, and it's so funny, because I remember being, and I think I've said this story before, I remember being in a supermarket and seeing a woman who was like around my age, or a little, you know, around my age anyway, and she just had like packets of these tenor pads that she was putting through the supermarket, and number one, I'd probably buy them online if I needed them. But I felt like running up to her and saying, "Oh my God, you know, there is, you know, there's help for them." I think the thing is, like, a lot of women don't actually realise that there actually is help out there for stuff like that. So, say for example, if someone comes to see you for this help, like, is this like something that you have done once and it's like, you know, forever, or do you come back every so often, or is the different technologies different? Because I know that there's some, like with the Mona Lisa Touch, it's a course of treatments. So is it like that, or like, I think you still need a top up every so often. You kind of still need to kind of, it's not a one-off fix, is it?
No, it's not. So as I said, there is maintenance required, because all we're capable of doing is remodeling tissue for a certain period of time, and then we continue to age. Now, there's a qualification there. We have a lot of people in their early to mid 30s and older years as well, of course, that suffer significantly from stress incontinence, the example you gave in the supermarket, where they're not aware of anything that they can do. They go along to their gynecologist, they have tests done, they're offered various investigations. But apart from fairly major surgical intervention to hold up the bladder, there isn't a great deal that can be done. Whereas this is a treatment that should be better known, because it's such a simple and very successful treatment. And in fact, you know, the big limitation, which we can talk about, and the big fear with most people, is the word laser and the fear of pain. But in fact, the vaginal mucosa is painless, and it's a very comfortable, non-painful procedure. But yes, it's very poorly known, because it is a taboo subject. When we try to do some marketing and advertising, or even blogs to let this be known, it's really a taboo subject that people won't talk about openly. You can't get any of the advertisers to discuss it or talk about it, because they say, no, we can't discuss it in our media. So it's only through blogs and podcasts like this that you're able to really bring it to people's attention.
Yep. And it's so funny, because sometimes women, like women and girls that I've spoken to, sometimes it's even women that haven't had children. So it's not just like, you know, you're going to have children and this is going to happen. Like, it happens to women that don't even have children. So it's not necessarily just for, you know, mums. It's kind of for all females, hey?
It's an aging thing. If you look at all of our faces and body skin as we get into our late 40s and 50s and certainly older, the tissue loses its strength, it loses its elasticity, it loses its structure, and we're able to remodel that. So we do that all the time with body and facial treatments, but they all need maintenance and ongoing treatment because you can only renew tissue for a period of up to about 6 months and then it starts to age again. So that's why with these vaginal treatments, we try and get people to do a maintenance at least every 6 months. Now, there are different features of that. For instance, a young woman in their 30s who's had two or three children who has been through vaginal deliveries almost always are stretched, they're dilated, they've lost the bladder support. The muscular wall of the vagina is the support for the lower wall of the bladder. So what happens is the bladder wall sinks down, and then when they get a fuller bladder and they have a sudden cough or a sneeze or a strain, or they go to the gym and they do a star jump or they go for a run, they just get a little, it's a small trickle that comes away due to the bladder sphincters releasing due to this inadequate holding and support of the front of the vaginal wall. So it's very common. Now, those type of people can have three or four treatments, and providing that they don't have any more pregnancies, that can keep them going for years without a maintenance. Yeah. 56% of Australian population is female, and everyone ages, and everyone goes through the menopause, for instance. And once within a year or two of stopping having your periods, the ovaries no longer produce estrogen, so the vaginal mucosa, which is the thick lining of the mucosa, atrophies. It shrinks down to a quarter or a sixth of its normal size. It can't hold water. The vaginal lining, which is like the bowel lining, it's got a happy media or mixture of all the different bacteria and yeast and fungi. That loses its ability to hold those, so that they're more prone to infections and things like that. Now, when we start doing the heat treatments on postmenopausal women, and they usually come in through dryness and inability to enjoy sex even with lubricants, it just hurts. They get painful intercourse called dyspareunia, or just dry and uncomfortable, or they just lose their sensitivity and they lose the friction and the tightness. Because they're not willing in many cases to keep taking estrogen long term because of the perceived side effects of estrogen, this type of heat treatment is the only avenue they've got. The alternative, if they're prepared to take estrogen, is you can do a strong hormone replacement therapy using patches or tablets or injections, or you can use vaginal estrogen pessaries. But in fact, the compliance by doing that every day or every second day for many years is very poor. So most people don't do it. They remain dry and they've got no solution. So that obviously when they come to do the vaginal remodeling of the tissue with the lasers or the radio frequency energy that we use, that gives them 5 to 6 months of regeneration. So instead of having to take something or do something to their body every night, they can come in two or three times a year and have a maintenance treatment, which really is a half-hour, non-invasive, low-risk procedure that regenerates the tissue and keeps them almost as good as they were prior to menopause.
And it's funny because that's exactly the next thing I was going to have a talk about. Like, because I know that a lot of times you go to your doctor and they'll prescribe you, you know, a whole heap of hormones. And I don't know about anyone else, but that freaks me out for a start because I don't like you know, like I didn't even like taking the pill, you know, in fact, I didn't take the pill because you just don't know what it's doing to your body. And then you've got the rumours of, you know, some things can lead to sort of cancer. So it's kind of, you know, people might think, oh, a laser, you know, it's it's a laser, and people get really scared, but it's not like that at all. And as someone who is, like I'd never heard really about lasers that much before, but now that I've kind of, you know, I'm still not technical with them, but I've seen what they can do to people's skin on their faces. And I've actually had some laser treatment myself on my vagina, because I am that postmenopausal woman who had, you know, like a prolapsed uterus and all that sort of stuff. So having seen it firsthand, it's not as scary as what it sounds. And I was going to ask you, so what about downtime? Like this is the genuine lunchtime procedure, isn't it? Like, no one's going to know you've had it. No one's going to see it. So, you know, like, how long?
Exactly. The treatment takes less than half an hour. We do a detailed consultation and review of symptoms each time. So we do a 20-minute consultation and a 20 to 25-minute laser. But unlike external tissue you mentioned on the face, if we were to do the same laser intensity with these same lasers and ultra and radio frequency devices on the external skin, it would hurt, and we'd have to provide strong local anesthetic ointments to put on for half an hour before we start. But in fact, the vaginal tissue is not sensitive to pain, surprisingly. You would think it would be. So the strong treatments that we do, in fact, are painless. The only external treatment we do at the same procedure is we treat the external vulva, called the labia minora. Now, that is sensitive, so we use a strong local anaesthetic on that to make it completely painless before we do the treatment. But the idea of that is it regenerates and repairs and tightens the labia, which has often been stretched and damaged with age and, of course, with vaginal delivery. So no, it doesn't hurt, and it is a lunchtime procedure. Now, obviously, needs to be done professionally. You can make anything hurt if you're irresponsible. So we've developed a lot of expertise at doing this. And, you know, the bottom line is you don't need to do very strong treatments. This treatment is extremely comfortable and painless. The actual speculum that goes inside the vagina is smaller than the duckbill speculum that we all use for pap smears that everyone's experienced. So it's a much smaller cylindrical tube. There's no stretching of the vaginal wall. It's just simply placed inside. The laser goes inside that speculum, and it's reflected by a mirror at the end. So it's a very ingenious little applicator, but it's not painful and it's not invasive.
And it's like, I have to admit, like when I first went to have it done, I was absolutely petrified, because like I know what a laser feels like on the face, and it freaking hurts, you know. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, I was so scared. But then,
everyone's apprehensive, and it's not until they actually feel it that they say, you know, oh my God, it's true. But everyone's fearful until they actually try it.
Totally. And I was that sort of petrified that I insisted that the first time, well, I insisted that I had to go and see a female. And so, of course, I did go and see a female. But after being through the process, I was actually really comfortable with it, because it's actually not really, you know, a big deal. I guess it's just like having an ultrasound, or, you know what I mean? It wasn't as bad as what, you know, I'd created in my head. You know, it's just, you know, it's easier than having a pap smear. it didn't take that long at all, and it didn't hurt at all. That's what kind of blew me away, because I could hear it zapping, but I didn't feel a single thing. And like you said, that's because the mucosa is kind of, why is that? Can you explain
it again? It's just non-sensitive to pain.
Right.
The only sensitive tissue is right near the outside of the right at the end of the vagina and the vulva, and we use local anaesthetic for that, so it's relatively painless. And yes, there's often a fear and an objection of seeing a male. We've got six people who do it, and two of them are female. We've got a cosmetic physician and a gynecologist female, and we've got four male doctors. cosmetic physician, and the others are gynecologists, male gynecologists.
Yeah, right. So tell me, the course of treatment, is the course of treatment the same for all of the devices? Like, and if so, like, what is it?
Yes, the course of treatments is usually one treatment a month for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Then we get people back for review at 3 months to see how they're going. Mm-hmm. We review them each time, and surprisingly, most people will notice a change even after the first, and certainly after the second, but certainly 3 months after the third. Mm-hmm. And then we usually do another review at the 6 month mark, so 3 months following. And by that stage, most people volunteer. They want to have a maintenance treatment to keep up the improvement they've had. Some people, for instance, older people in their 60s or even 70s who've had very significant vaginal atrophy and need a lot of treatment to rebuild that vaginal mucosa, we put them on an accelerated program where they come in more often. Some people in their early 50s with vaginal menopausal atrophy, they don't need treatment as frequently. And as I said, the younger people with stress incontinence, once they're really incontinence free, they'll only come back when it starts to recur. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they get a very long term result. Sometimes they'll come back once a year or once every 6 months. We've got some people who only come back every 18 months. We've been doing this for about 4.5 to 5 years now. So we've got quite a history of people who, and we've got a pretty good pattern of when they need treatment. It's very much to do with the younger people, the number of pregnancies they've had, how long they've had the symptoms for, and generally the degree of laxity of their skin, which is reflected externally as well as in the vagina. So you get a pretty good idea of when maintenance is due.
Yep. That's one thing I was going to say, is what I find with myself, I find that it's all fixed and it's all better. And then, like, you know, a year and a half later, I'm like, maybe I should think about, you know, having another treatment. But do you guys, like, I know you've got a really, you know, I know you guys have really got a professional setup there. So do you send out reminders or anything like that? Like, do you keep in touch with your, like, how's someone going to know and not just kind of forget you? Like, do you send a reminder out or something like that? Like, I get a reminder Yes. every 6 months saying, hey, it's time for a dental checkup. Like, do you do that sort of thing?
Yes, we've got a gynae nurse who follows up clients and keeps in touch with them, emails, messages them, gives them a ring, just follows them up, seeing how they're going. Generally, it's pretty well decided at the 3 months review after the three treatments what the most likelihood of recurrence and need for maintenance, and it's pre-organised. So
awesome.
Everyone's a bit different.
Yeah, that's so true. So just to make it easier for people to understand, so basically if you're suffering from things like discomfort or bleeding or anything like that during sexual intercourse, or maybe a little bit of a leaky bladder or urinary incontinence or whatever you want, or you know, a bit of pee comes out when you sneeze or anything like that, or itchiness or burning, that's because basically your estrogen levels have dropped, which is causing the lining of the vagina to become thinner, which makes it drier and less elastic.
That's for the older people who've already reached the menopause. I mean, some people have an earlier menopause in their late 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. But for the younger people who've just got a cough or a sneeze wee from stress incontinence due to minor strain, they don't have any other symptoms other than that. Sometimes, because there's always laxity of the vaginal tissue associated with that. So by the time most people come to us, they've suffered these symptoms for, 10, 15 years, and they've just put up with it. And as you said, use pads. And when they find out about it, within two or three treatments, it's gone or almost gone. So they can't believe the result. But yep. they generally haven't got estrogen lack, so they don't have dryness. In fact, a lot of people have excess mucus in the younger years. It only dries up after a couple of years of stopping, of the ovary stopping producing estrogen without replacement.
And I guess as well, something we probably didn't talk about is like say for example, people that get maybe breast or uterine cancers that are like kind of cancers that are kind of I guess hormone sensitive. It can really help with that as well, can't it? Because you don't want to be, and some people don't want to be taking the hormone replacement therapies, not only during menopause but also, with the cancers. Is that like, can that help?
Not only that, so with the estrogen-sensitive breast cancers, they're put on anti-estrogen medication, such as, well, there's a few different medications they can go on, and that very significantly dries up the vagina and becomes extremely atrophic. And not only does it stop them having intercourse because it's completely dry and very painful, but they actually get symptoms even without intercourse. They get itchy and dry and recurrent infections. So it's important, and that's a very big indication for doing these radiofrequency and laser devices. In fact, for instance, the Chris O'Brien Cancer Hospital at Prince Alfred in Sydney here have got their own Mona Lisa with a team of gynecologists who do the treatment there. So it's gradually becoming better known. It's gradually getting more acceptance. The medical profession is very conservative and very slow to take on change. And in fact, there's quite a school of opinion that these things don't work. It's basically through naivety. So there's a lot of gynecologists who say that doesn't work. But we know because we've been doing it for so long, it does work. And there's so many other doctors doing it now throughout. Not only Australia is very small, this started in Italy and in Slovenia, of all places. And there are hundreds of thousands of treatments that have been done and by many different specialists, not just gynecologists and dermatologists, but a lot of other cosmetically orientated specialists. And it's one of the most common core uses of laser, basically because of the lack of side effects and the need for repeat treatments. And whereas it's more of a medical requirement, if you like, or desire and need rather than facial rejuvenation, it's probably done just as much as facial rejuvenation.
Yeah, and it's like I always, it always annoys me that something like this is not available on, at least to get a Medicare rebate or something like that, because it's so, and I guess maybe down the track that will happen when it's, a bit more generally accepted, but, it's sort of,
Well,
yeah.
the issue with that is it probably take another 10 years of acceptance, and all the medical authorities and the various medical specialties accepting it. And generally, it takes 20 years for some new device or new treatment to be accepted. Private health probably has more chance of getting accepted in the shorter future. The issue is it's an expensive treatment to deliver because most of these lasers cost well over $100,000, and a lot of them use consumables, which are expensive. So it's not something that we'll ever get a full subsidy for, but partial subsidy will help people. Generally, it's not that expensive. When we do maintenance treatments, people who will buy packages of maintenance get it down to about $400 each time.
Okay, well that's not unreasonable. That's pretty good pricing. I was going to ask you as well, what about contraindications? Is there anyone that shouldn't have it done, or is there any contraindications like?
This question comes up all the time. So obviously, we don't do it in the presence of an infection. So if there's an infection, we treat that all the time. The big thing is people who've got a history of, say, cervical cancer or precancerous lesions, which is due to the HPV virus. Is it contraindicated there? And of course, the answer is no. We actually treat not only cancers and precancers, but HPV virus with the lasers on the cervix using another adaption on these devices. But when we do these vaginal applicators for tightening and stress incontinence and menopausal atrophy, there's no heat whatsoever directed up towards the uterus or the cervix. There's a cap on the end of the speculum, which isolates the end of the cervix, which is the bottom of the uterus, completely. So it has no bearing on that at all. So it's very safe. Of course, when we treat the vulva, we have to inspect the vulva very carefully to make sure there's no skin lesions or skin cancers there. And if we suspect anything, we'll take a biopsy of that. And of course, all care is taken to make sure we're not treating anyone who has those few contraindications. But other than that, there's no contraindication. The vaginal canal is a separate tube that is relying on estrogen that gets stretched with aging and laxity of tissue, and it gets stretched with vaginal delivery. But it's not only vaginal delivery. Some people with who've only had cesarean deliveries, and some people who've never had any deliveries, will get laxity and looseness and stress incontinence. It's much less common to get stress incontinence without vaginal deliveries, but it does happen. But of course, there's many different forms of incontinence that happen in older age, in the 60s and 70s and 80s especially, and that's basically due to weakening of the tissue as well. They're harder to treat. They need more maintenance. You've got to do gentler treatments. So we modify the treatments, according to the condition and age of the vaginal tissue.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. And the last thing I was going to ask you is just because I know we had a little bit of a quick talk about the outside. So can any of these treatments kind of, not fix the outside, that sounds terrible,
tighten up the loose bits.
Yeah.
So that's called the labia minora, and it always becomes excessive and stretched, and a lot of people will actually have surgery where it's actually cut away, which is obviously done in hospital and a much more invasive procedure but very effective. But every time we do the vaginal laser, we offer to do the vulval laser as well. And yes, after a series of treatments, it does become a bit smaller and tighter. So it improves the laxity and looseness and excessive skin folds that happen there.
And that's been so, so interesting. And one thing that I love is the fact that, because you can pretty much go anywhere these days and get a laser, but I like the fact that this treatment is actually being done by professionals, and that's always really reassuring, more reassuring for a patient. I know some people are happy to just kind of go anywhere, but at least, at least at the Rejuve clinics and the specialist clinics, it's being done by a professional, and I really love that. I think that's, an added bonus, well worth pursuing, rather than just going round to your local, beauty salon that offers it. You might as well go somewhere who actually knows about that part of the body and just works on that part of the body.
Yeah, and another thing that is common and a common misapprehension with external facial treatments and body treatments is people are often disappointed with the results, and it's basically because they maybe haven't used the right laser or the right treatment, but often because they've been impatient, they're expecting magical results too quickly. And all of these treatments need persistent and recurrent treatments to gradually build tissue. And it's the same with the vaginal tissue. Although it's a sensitive part that's a bit taboo to talk about, it's part of our human body, and it responds exactly the same way as all skin. Non-invasive heat doesn't have to hurt and doesn't have to have downtime.
Yep, no, that's so true. So there, yeah. You go, ladies. You can not only can you have facial rejuvenation, but nowadays there's vagina rejuvenation, which is just as important. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Cussell. I really appreciate it.
Excellent, good. Lovely. Are there any other questions you want to ask?
No, I've got a million questions, but I've probably had all of the vagina rejuvenation ones answered. So we'll definitely have to do this again. Sometime.
Okay. There is one thing I wanted to try and get across probably in response to the last answer, yeah. And that is When you're comparing this to external tissue tightening, one of the reasons that the vaginal tissue responds so well with development of new tissue and strengthening and tightening and so quickly is generally the mucous membranes have a very good blood supply and they heal extremely quickly. And this is why younger people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, when they're not too postmenopausal, suffering from lack of estrogen, why they respond so quickly is that when you heat mucous membrane, it heals much quicker than external skin. We find that, for instance, when we're doing, say, lower facial treatments, when compared to using the same type of modalities treating external skin, you need to do a certain number of treatments at close intervals to get a cumulative collagen buildup. When we treat the mucous membrane inside the mouth, we probably get double the amount of collagen stimulation, so we get a much quicker and much stronger improvement just because the similar mucous membrane has such a good blood supply. And it's the same when we treat the soft palate and the back of the throat for sleep apnea and snoring. It has a very successful and very rapid strengthening to lift the soft palate to open up the airway to stop snoring and sleep apnea. So mucous membranes just respond to heat so much more than the external skin. Yeah. And that's probably a key factor as to why these treatments seem to be so miraculous and quick in their results.
Yeah, it amazes me because I've actually had a bit of laser in the face. They were just kind of showing how, you know, it can. I was a model, as I love to be a model, where they put the laser in my mouth to show one side of the face. They could actually laser and it tightens the skin from the inside. And I was also surprised then the fact that it just doesn't hurt.
Yeah, the mucous membranes aren't very sensitive. You have to set the laser up properly. The laser we use for that is a special type of laser. It's a special modification of an erbium laser, but it's set up so it doesn't focus the energy on the surface of the mucosa. It focuses it deep down, and that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I was just blew me away. Well, thank you so much. That's been really, really interesting, and I'm all for it. And ladies, if you're out there and you think you need some help, like, just speak to someone. And I know that you can go in and have a consultation at Rejuve Clinics of Australia. You can go to either Chatswood, CBD or Barangaroo. And these people have been doing this, you know, a lot. So don't, you know, if you're feeling a little bit embarrassed, don't be, because they've done it a lot. They know, number one, a lot of them have probably had to treat themselves. And number two, they know exactly how to deal with it. So don't think twice, you know, head on down there. You've got nothing to lose, you know, except maybe a few drops of unavoidable pee. Well, thank you so much, Gary. That's been so interesting having a chat with you today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.